हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 7, the jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. Page 110. The word tat establishes, so this is a doubt. The word tat establishes the substrate, which had its sroop previously hidden. That cannot be, and so then our point, that cannot be so. Because it is impossible to misconceive and negate it without its prior manifestation. Right? So how do you negate something that didn't exist? So then if the point is the sarup is there, how will it be? It means your sarup is that of Brahman, that you are Brahman. So then you would have to be Brahman. Right? And then the point is here you're separately conscious. Yeah. Okay. Then this is again. Is this their point here again in the quote?
I'm just coming to. I think that's mine.
Okay, the substratum without being hidden is the shelter of illusion, right? So, substratum without being hidden is the shelter of illusion, and then when it's hidden. Then somehow or another it's covered by illusion. But then that means illusion has to be taking shelter of the substratum. The substratum is Brahman, no? The substrate there. Because what they're trying to say is that, because if here comes the problem. If we say, okay, the Brahman covered by illusion becomes a jiva, right? So that means you're an illusion, you don't actually exist. So then, what's the whole point of you making all this arrangement here? You know, it'd be just like, let's say, I have a light, you know, and then, you know, in the evening, you know, it's one of the parlor games, you know, you put your hands together and you make birds and dogs and all this kind of thing. Now, then, according to their philosophy, that bird and dog that's a shadow on the wall would be striving for self-realization so that they become the hand. You know, or they even before they become the light, actually. You know, so that's the problem. Is that so? Then you have to say no. But then the Brahman is a substrate that's there. Brahman's always there. So then it's natural that you'll become Brahman. You know. So that was our point before. Is that if it's not already there, how can you get rid of it? You know. So then the problem comes is then, you know, how does Brahman, but then the verses that say Brahman can never become overcome by illusion, then what is that, what that's the meaning of those? And then what's the difference between the Jiva and Ishwara? Because Jiva, Ishwara is only controlled by goodness or this and that, according to their idea. And the Jivas get distracted. And Ishwara then controls all these different things. Right? You know, in other words, this illusion that doesn't mean anything somehow needs an administration to make it work. But if it's an illusion, what does it matter? So being an illusion, then why would it need all these things? What's the importance? What's the importance that Ishwara now has been, you know, by the covering of what do you call it? You have the covering of ignorance and you have the covering of action. Right, because we get covered and then we're thrown. When we're thrown, we're put into some new action. Mm. Right, without let's just like Prabhupada says, the jiva without being covered, how does it become a pig? A human would not be comfortable living as a pig. Right, but because he's covered, now he can do pig stuff. So he thinks being a pig's great. You know, like you see, pigs are always smiling and that, so they're comfortable like that. So the whole point is the covering part, that's the jivas, but the active part, that's they're saying is Ishwar. Right? So now, what would be the need of all these arrangements to make all this amazing things and it all works by laws? Because if it's illusion, why would it, like a dream, now that's an illusion. You're taking all kinds of things, putting them together into all kinds of crazy stuff. But here, it's like exact laws and all that. The Shastra then talks about it. You can follow it. By that, you can get self-realization. So how can it be illusion? You know? So there's some serious flaws here. So the point is, but then they say, no, but underlying is you're not actually illusion, you're Brahman. But actually, then they're just saying when you cover Brahman, you get the jiva. But that's just the illusory part. You know? But they're saying, you know, how you say? Underlying your Brahman. So then the difficulty comes up is that if Brahman can't be covered by these things, how would you exist? You know, it's just like if I take and put a sheet over your head, now you become a ghost. That's an illusion. You're actually who you are. So if I remove the sheet, then you are who you are. But the point is that everybody, every living entity is saying that they're the complete whole, the unlimited, when they're, no, you don't get, you're not any bigger than you were. Right? Because if I put a sheet over, you're still the same size as when I pull it off. It's not that when I pull off the sheet, now you suddenly expand throughout the whole universe and become, you know. So they're having to say, no, underneath that you're there. But the point is if Ishwara can't be controlled by these things, how could this happen? And why would it happen? What's the need for it to be managed? So why do you need Ishwara? If it's illusion, why do you need Ishwara and controlling everything? You know. So there's some major difficulties with there. So that's their whole thing, is the substrate is underneath, it's actually Brahman. So then when you remove, then you get that. But if it's an illusion in the first place, means if I take nothing and put it into the mud and I pick up some mud, when I wash it, I'll end up with nothing. Right? So that's an illusion. But if there's a gold ring, now if there's mud, if I wash away, I get a gold ring. But the point is the individual ring. It's not that now that I wash it away, that the ring, when I wash it away, it suddenly becomes a gold mine. I mean, that would be great, isn't it? all the guys have to do is the guy goes out, you know, he leaves, you know, the East Coast, you know, makes this difficult journey over so many months to get to the West Coast. If he doesn't die, then all he has to do is go out there and look in one of those, you know, river creeks or streams for one piece of gold. Having done that, he'll take some water from the stream, go over to the side with some nice muddy part, make a nice bunch of good gooky mud, drop that nugget into there, mix it up, pick it up. And then when he goes over to the river and puts it in there with his hand and washes it, suddenly that nugget will just become a whole gold mine and the guy will be the richest guy in the world. Right? But then since he's done that, how can anybody else become that? How does each one expand as the whole? You know. So there's some problems there. But they're going to throw all that out the window by saying, well, the spiritual is different from the material, so it can act differently. We say everything has to be logic. What you're saying is not logic. This, that, we don't accept any of it. But this part is totally illogical. And then they'll say, no, because spiritual is beyond that. It's not based on logic. And then why are you making your whole sadhana and everything based on logic? You know what I'm saying? So it's complete. They're confused. They're just smart people who are confused. You know? They're not dodos that are confused. Difference is dodos were nice. Didn't work out for them, no, but... But the very nature of the substrate is contrary to illusion, right? Because the substrate being Brahman, it can't be an illusion. It's contrary to, so how could you cover it? When it manifests, it cannot be the shelter of illusion and its negation. How can Brahman be the shelter of illusion and be the cause for getting rid of it. Because if you get rid of it, it's not giving shelter. Does that make sense? So they're saying both, that by Brahman gives shelter to illusion, then you get the jiva, and then by uncovering the illusion and seeing Brahman, all illusion is gone. So how can it be the shelter of illusion and be the cause for getting rid of it? Because if it's getting rid of it, then it's not the shelter. And then if it gets rid of it, it gets rid of it just for you. But if you're everything, then why the individuality? So even in here, there's still the hidden individuality in the Mayavad philosophy, because they're worried about they become Brahman, they become Narayan, everybody else is an illusion. Yes?
It's like a typical political stance where in front of the person you behave nicely, that you're giving the shelter, and when he is out, then you kick his...
Yes, yes. Yeah, because they're like, because just like they take shelter of the guru. And they learn from the guru, but then when they've understood everything, then they reject the guru because now they've become the guru. So you can see is what is their mentality. They're not grateful or anything. So that means they can't even get to the first solid position of understanding God. Because the first position is you're grateful to God. God's providing everything and all that, so that's the theistic morality. You have that gratefulness towards the Lord. He's providing everything. He's taking care. We take shelter. So they can't even get to that because they want to be God. They've just worked out a philosophy and how it's all right. See, that's the thing. You're doing something bogus. Everyone criticizes. You come up with some fancy philosophy. You know, you've heard all their arguments and you work out ways to defeat all their arguments. Then you have a vada. You know? And then now it's all right. You know, I was saying, what is it? We were talking before, Descartes. Total gross materialist. Even his other intellectual friends were disgusted that he's just so disgusting. So then he makes up a philosophy because, you know, they would have been telling him why he's, you know, why do you think I'm disgusting? And they say this. So he'll think about all those things, you know, in his mind, defeat all of their arguments like that and put together, now you have, you know, disgusting vod, you know, or hedonism vod, you know, like that. So like this, and then now it's all right. Now it's a philosophy. You study it in school. But the same guy who's doing the same thing without the philosophy, then, you know, no one is interested. No intellectual wants to associate with such a person. But he makes a philosophy and suddenly, oh, okay, now we're talking. So it's the same. Any of these guys, philosophers, anything, they come up with a philosophy and then it's all right. So, yeah. Illusion and its negation cannot be produced without accepting disappearance of the substrate's spiritual qualities. Right? Because if there's illusion, then the substrate, where is its spiritual qualities? Because otherwise, you'd be spiritual. Right? So in other words, what's the solution to their problem? That the jiva is spiritual. The jiva is real. It's there. It's an energy of Brahman. Right? Again, it comes back to if we accept the energies. Then it works. So then, yes, the substrate's not Brahman, meaning the para-Brahman. The substrate is the jiva. Jiva's an illusion. Now, by knowledge of para-Brahman, then the jiva can come back to that transcendental position. That solves the problem so easily. But because they're not willing to accept that there's a para-Brahman, why? Because they want to be para-Brahman. You know, it's just like, you know, Prabhu mentioned about politicians. Now, let's say there's two politicians. And one politician is doing something that's actually very good. Everyone appreciates and all that. But the other politician, generally speaking, you see as a politician, they won't accept it. They just ignore it. Why? Because they want to be the main politician. So anything good, they can't acknowledge. Unless, of course, they can take on those and then they'll be the good guys. You know? Like that. You know, the one is known for being nice, so he'll go out and try to show everyone how he's nice. But it's not that it's not jealousy. Because he just is, one's nice, you want to be nice also. It's you want to be nice so that he disappears. So now if you become Brahman, then the whole point is then what about Brahman? Brahman was already Brahman while you were an illusion. You know? And so then you're conscious, why are you conscious? All this, then it just becomes, you just go into a consciousness being, in, you know, no distinction, no anything. You're just aware, but there's nothing to be aware of, only yourself. And so then they have to get rid of the whole personal and everything like that. So you can see, therefore, it goes back to Buddhism. Just nothingness is good. You know, it's just like, let's say you've eaten so much and all that, you just don't want to look at food. You don't want to hear about food. You don't want to eat food. You want nothing to do with food. You don't want to smell it. You know, nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So, but that doesn't mean that food's not of value, just that you don't value it. So it's a very self-centered, very selfish philosophy, like all other materialistic things. They're all ultimately selfish. So we're talking about the karma. It's also about themselves, and then whatever is extending from them that is supportive of that, then that's their, you know, their friends and family and community and nation and all that. You know, the Maya bodies, it's the same. They're also, you know, the impersonalists are also. It's all about themselves, them being God, you know, being the controller. You know, you don't get any specific benefits from that because you can't get any, you can't, yourself are unable to get any material benefits. But at least knowing that you are in that superior position makes you feel good. You know, then you're willing to be peaceful. You know, so it's just the same. It's all just get rid of everything and then, you know, it's just like, everybody else is very good at something, so I get rid of everything that everybody's good at. And now I feel good. That's all they're doing. That's the Mayavad philosophy. You know? Anything that is of value to anybody else that they're good at, that I'm not good at, and would like to be good at, but I'm not, so I'm frustrated. Therefore it awakens me to that there's something higher, which is a good thing. But at the same time, as my solution is destroy everything, and then there's just me. You know, it's kind of one of those, I'll show you, you know. So you see, it's the same thing that everybody does.
It is like just a mood of competition.
Yes, yeah, that's the whole point. We have competition with Krishna. We want to be the controller and the joy. So that's the point, is our point, is whatever goes on, you can show that it's still the nature of the jiva. Whatever you do, you know? So ultimately everything's the nature of the jiva. And you can see that behind, that's the substrate, is the jiva as an energy of Krishna. You know, as a servant of Krishna, can't get away from that. And at the same time, as all their trouble comes because they're not accepting that and they're taking on the mood of I'm controller and enjoyer. And taking on that mood, then they try in so many ways to control and enjoy. Some are more on control, some are more on enjoy, some, you know, try to strike a balance, you know, like this, or enjoy in this way, someone enjoys in that way, controls in this way, controls in that way, but it's all the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? So that's all that's going on here. Nothing else.
Raj, when you speak about this substrate, it's like the foundation.
It's like what's underneath that's unseen. Yeah, you could say like the like here, the substrate is the foundation that's building. We don't see it. We just see the columns coming out of the ground. But there's a whole foundation underneath. So that's what they're trying to go into. But the whole point is that means then Brahman's holding up illusion. That's what he's saying. Brahman is giving shelter. Because how could it do? Well, Brahman gives shelter to illusion. But if it's giving shelter, then when you talk about Brahman, you become realized and this illusion goes away. And then somehow or another your self. But that means Brahman is giving shelter to illusion, but then at the same time is not giving. So is it giving or not?
You know? And,
yeah, but then that means there's decisions. There's these things, so that means Brahman is a person. So they don't want to go there.
Yes.
They only go enough that you accept.
Yes.
You know, it's like the secondhand car salesman. He'll just say enough that you're satisfied. He won't tell you all the facts.
Yes.
He'll just, how you say now? What do they call? But not pre-owned, pre-owned, previous. Now I think there's a new name for it that sounds even better than pre-owned.
You know. Sometimes they call it
refurbished. You know, there's some other. They find some fancy word that just meant it was an old rundown thing that they got to trade in for $200, and now they're going to sell it to you for $3,000. You know, like that. You know. That's the point, you know. But they're not going to tell you all that. You know, so, you know, the cliche, at least when I was a kid, is that it was only driven on Sunday by an old lady going to church.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That was it. That's all the more it was driven.
Yes.
They don't tell you that it's already done, 500,000 miles, right? They're not going to tell you that. Sorry?
By a taxi driver.
who regularly took an old lady, every Sunday took an old lady to church.
Just like me.
So, like that. So, that's all they're doing. They only want to say as much as you'll accept their philosophy, but they don't want to go more than that because they just don't want to accept that they're subservient. That's the whole point of this, is that Jiva is always dependent on Paramatma. They don't want to be. Here's another fun point, is now, by knowledge, now you get rid of this illusion and you become Ishwara, right? But at the same time, there's still illusion because Ishwara is just the active principle. So how do you get from Ishwara to Brahman? They just, once they become Ishwara and call each other Narayana, as sannyasis, they're content. But they already think they've attained it, but they're still within illusion. They're just in a different aspect of illusion. You know, instead of, being too hot, it's too cold now. You know. Do they have something for that? Or? You know, I'm saying there's a sadhana to get from Jiva to being Narayan. How do you get from Narayan to Brahman? Because if Narayan's already Brahman, then the whole point is why do you say there's a illusion? And if you say but it's just the covering, but the Jiva's only just the covering. And so then what's the difference? Why so much endeavor? If you're already Narayan, why do you have to even work? So you can see is that there's an underlying material desire that's there within their hearts. That drives them. Because something has to drive you. There has to be some taste, some goal, some identity like this. And so that's what it is. They just want to be the supreme controller.
Maharaj, it's always the same thing. There is always some internal desire.
Yes.
And this is the basis of our direction.
Yes. Because we're a person, so there will be desire. So that's why then you bring your desire in line with Krishna's. Then you maintain desire, but now it's in connection, in line with Krishna's desire. And then the happiness you experience is greater than whatever can be gotten here. Because Krishna being everything, you're experiencing everything without Krishna. So how much you'll get out of it. Right? Because if you're not acknowledging where it's coming from, how much you can get, you don't have that freedom. But when it's acknowledged, then so much more. You know, it's just like how much, let's say you go into a very rich man's house when he's out on vacation. How much can you enjoy the house? Right? Not that much. Go sit in the big chair, put your feet up on the coffee table, rummage through the refrigerator, do a few things like that, go take a hot bath in his bathtub. You try, but there's always the anxiety that, the guy's coming back. But now, let's say you're a friend of the person, you're invited to a party at his house. Now, how much is, it's what is the natural thing, then there's much fuller enjoyment. So makes sense. So the illusion comes up is that you want to enjoy the house, but as soon as you want to enjoy it without him, you think you've entered his house, but actually it's another house. that's unconscious. So it doesn't have all the, you know, it doesn't have the intensity of the original house. So his house, everything's conscious. Then he gives you another house that's not. And so you can try to be, because it's a reflection on your desire. It's a reflection. It means it's real, but the reason you're involved is because you have a desire, so that aspect of your desire, that's what's reflected. Yes?
Maharaj, we explained all these points, they agree the defeat, but then one of the person mentioned that they cannot perceive of serving God eternally. That idea is unperceivable for them.
Yes.
So he sticks with this philosophy.
Yes, but that's why then you try, hence there's kirtan and prasad. Because even a Mayavadi has to agree the prasad's nice and the kirtan's nice. And so by that they get purified, and gradually then they are able to, you know, when the Sukriti is enough, then they're able to take up. Like that. Because you see it's possible. If Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati can become pure devotees, then why not anyone else, you know? Like that. So that's the You know, and then on the other, that you know, these are the pious and the intellectuals. Then you take Jagai and Madhai on the other end. So that means anybody in between, it's you know, it's good. We're good. We can find a spot in between. When the substrate, as an ordinary person, disappears by information that a person is a king, one can annul the illusion. By information that he is a king, the illusion is destroyed. It is not simply by information that he is a man that illusion is destroyed. Right? So the king is dressed up as an ordinary man. Then you tell somebody, yes, here's an ordinary man. Is the illusion dispelled? No, you think he's an ordinary man, but he's not. So it's only when you give information he's the king, then the illusion that he's an ordinary man goes away. Does that make sense? Yeah. Since that information that he's an ordinary man does not reveal anything new and does not destroy the illusion, therefore the proposal of non-difference of Jiva and the Lord is not proper. Right? Because if you say the Jivas, you know, who they are, and that, then by revealing their position, it doesn't bring them. But you say they're God, but the point is then you have to establish that they are. But the point is God doesn't come under illusion. You've come under illusion. You can't be God. Aupacharika Beda Beda Bhaskara. Who's Bhaskara?
He's just before Shankaracharya.
Okay.
He's also one of the Mayavadis.
Okay, so it's based on, he's an impersonalist.
He's an impersonalist, but who promotes Karma Mimamsa. Because he says that activities and knowledge both go hand in hand till you attain the state of Brahman.
Okay, so but now you have some, now but in Jaimini, then okay, so that's how you get. So in Jaimini, his point is liberation is not important. You just keep doing good karma and keep going around the cycle, right? Like that. See you later. Nice knowing you. Okay. Then because you have those that are like that, but it's not so, and then you also have those who they're doing their karmas and all that, and they'll get the benefits from that, but at some point then they can get liberation by that nice karma. Yes. So that comes from Bhaskara. Yeah.
It's kind of smarter.
Yeah. Smarter impersonalist. Okay. Okay, he's known as Bhaskaracharya then.
I don't think so much. He's not the Bhaskaracharya, he's an astronomer.
Of the? Oh, I see. So it's
Bhaskaracharya is an astronomer.
Okay, and this is just the Bhaskar.
Yeah, he couldn't become famous because Shankaracharya immediately came and he gave his own view that knowledge is the main thing.
Okay.
And activities don't matter. First you take sannyas and then you talk.
Okay, so there was karma and that's all. Then there was karma and the gyan. Then it was gyan and no karma. So he just, okay, he was there. Okay. Okay. Aupacharika Beda Beda Bhaskara is also faulty. The faults in the jiva which arises when Brahman contacts Upadi should become faults in Brahman itself. Right? It has to become faults in Brahman because it's Brahman that's covered by illusion in their philosophy. Right? So, if Brahman's covered and you get the jiva who's faulty, that means all that's, because they're saying it's a substrate, right, of Brahman. The whole point is that means Brahman is what is covered. Brahman becomes faulty. But Brahman can't be faulty. So that's why then their idea of the jiva can't function. Mm-hmm. Yes?
When Brahman is influenced by Vidguna, it becomes Ishvara, and then when he is influenced by another one, he becomes...
When it's ignorance, then you get jiva. When it's goodness, you get Ishvara. Also then, of the two qualities of Maya, the covering and throwing. So when Brahman is covered by the covering potency, you get jiva, and when it's covered by the throwing potency, you get Ishvara. Because in the throwing, that's where there's action. Another name of it is action. So there's the illusion in Maya, and there's the activities in Maya. So then Ishvara is then, I guess, the best at the controlling, or the activities of illusion. That's their idea. But then how Ishvara goes back to Brahman, that they're not talking about.
Hmm? If he's covered with more goodness, he can become Brahman again?
But the point is how can illusion create transcendence? It's only transcendence can create that. So, and then you also have, I don't know if it's in all the schools, that the jiva, when they become in knowledge, that knowledge itself, now that covers Brahman and you get Ishvara. So then we become the cause of God. But then how do we become the cause of God, because everything's already here before we come to that platform of realization? You know, so they just have all these different things that it's just like all different things that they would like. Let's say an individual has some various ideas that they really are interested in. You know, like skiing, standing on their hands or something, you know, down Mount Everest or something. So then you point out to them, that won't work. Well, okay, but then, you know, then we could go, you know, scuba diving, you know, 10 miles below the water, you know, just wearing, swimsuit. No, you can't do it. You know, so they're just, it just, okay, if we can't get that, well, what about this one? What about that one? Yeah, so but they've worked out philosophy with each of those ideas. So whichever one you attack, they just move to the next one. They'll keep on their one until you defeat it, and then they'll just move to the next one. So you see, materialists also do the same thing. You have the whole thing, and then they'll move to something else. Okay, that doesn't work, so they'll just move. Because the point is, we will use something for ourselves as long as it's useful for ourselves. And as soon as it's not, we'll give it up. So we do that all the time. So we're saying, yes, that's the principle, is that whatever is useful in our relationship with pleasing with Krishna to please Krishna, that's accepted. And what's not, you give up. You know, we do it every moment. But we're just asked to switch that principle to Krishna. But then the problem comes is because we want to be the one that's benefiting. And so that's why that's where the point is we don't want to surrender. We don't want to give it up. Because, you know, in that, you know, he's saying the Mayavadis don't want to give it up, then the point is that's their own individual identity. So even according to their philosophy, that would be wrong. No, but if you're Brahman, then why are you arguing these things? You know? Like that. So it's still from the individual point. So that's our point, is that why does that always come? Everything, every living entity is doing that because that's the substrate of that, is that there's the jiva who is an energy of the Lord. That's why every living entity acts as a jiva. You know, it becomes more distorted or less distorted, but they're all acting as jivas. You know, even the animals... That sense of justice, it's there in the animals. Like that. You know, they think it's, you know, they do these experiments where they have two monkeys, you know, and teach them to do something. Then the one does it and he gets, let's say, you know, one biscuit. The other one next to him does the same thing, and then he gets two biscuits. The first monkey really gets upset. It's just unjust. Why didn't I get two? Why he got two? You know? Yeah, that's just they totally freaking out, you know? You know, so that's because that's an inherent quality of the jiva. So there's those six qualities that are inherent, and they just get distorted as you come. So in the spiritual world, they're all used in connection with Krishna and bhakti. But in the material world, those six, they become piety. And then you start distorting from there, and it just goes down from there. So you can always see the qualities. You know, just like even in a species, a dog is always going to act as a dog. They may do some weird things, but they're still a dog. You know, they do something unique, but they still do it as a dog. You know, they're saying, you know, cat is cat, bird does bird stuff like that. So, yeah. It is not simply by information that he is a man that illusion is destroyed, since that information does not reveal anything new and does not destroy the illusion. Therefore, the proposal of non-difference of jiva and the Lord is not proper. Right? Because you reveal the jiva as they are, then it doesn't change the situation. It's only when you reveal jiva as the Lord. So we see the Lord and the jiva are different. Even if you're using their philosophy, still Brahman and the jiva are different. So you can't say that the jiva is Brahman. You know, we've always discussed before about they're small in size and this and that and all these things. So they came back, or
they came back. Everything is good, I think now.
You have to push a button to make it good.
Not needed, just to make sure.
Okay, so everyone's back. Okay, tonight, welcome back.
Yes, tonight we cannot know Krishna without knowing the nature of the jiva, and we cannot know the nature of the jiva without knowing Krishna.
It's dependent more on Krishna. It's not that he's yes. revealed to us.
Yes.
It's when the sun comes up, you can see yourself in the mirror.
Yes.
Right? So, we're trying to see ourselves in the mirror, which means to the mind, but it's covered. But, even if you clean the mirror, if the sun's not up, you still can't see yourself.
Yes.
So it's not that
yes.
when I clean the mirror, that makes the sun come
yes.
up.
Yes.
Like that. So, it's always dependent upon the Lord.
Yes.
It means they go together, the two.
Yes.
As you understand, I'm the soul, not the body, then you're open to that there's the supreme soul. Like that. So that's why much of the time when you start with, you know, we're not the body, we're the soul. You know, and we're eternal. And we're looking for happiness. But we're not, this body's not eternal, and our happiness is not constant and consistent. And so therefore, we're frustrated. So that means there must be something beyond this. So if that's our interest, but that's not the situation here. And we can see that just as we are conscious of this body and make the body work, the whole universe as a body, there must be a supreme consciousness that therefore the whole thing works. And so therefore, and within that context, I'm working and looking for what I want. So that would mean that I, as the individual soul, would want to be in contact with the supreme soul. And in that position, now you have a proper relationship, proper understanding. So, yeah. So that's then what you're once trying to get to. So you start from there, is that you've started yourself, but as soon as you're aware of yourself, then the same thing you use to make yourself aware of God. But this knowledge is knowledge of God. If you have knowledge of God, that includes the soul. But this knowledge of the soul doesn't include God, but you're just talking about those aspects of knowledge of God that we will relate to. In other words, we're giving deductive knowledge in a way that inductively it makes sense to us. But the idea that inductive method is of any value, no, it's only as much as it connects. That's why you see, as soon as Prabhupada established one point, immediately he takes it to Krishna. He doesn't keep keep that inductive process going. Yeah. He may use it in a different place, and then again, then another place, then again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this whole day, we're just going to use an inductive process, and by that, then we'll get to the end of realization of the Lord. That will never happen. The Shastra states it. It's impossible.
But this is what the Mayavadi wants to do.
This is what the Mayavadi wants to do. This is what the Karmi wants to do, like the scientists,
yes.
the philosophers, and the poets.
Yes.
The people into all the different social things like that and welfare. Everybody, they all want to go by this way. They all want to by what I see and what makes sense to me and my people who I value around me. That what we say this is the absolute is there. Or even if we have the theistic morality, we're accepting the Shastra and that there's a supreme and he controls everything. But it's still that I'm only interested in those elements that he controls that I'm getting benefit from.
Yes.
And when I say I, it means whoever's connected. Myself, the family, this, that. And that's all one cares. It's just like one country, let's say like you have in South India, right? You have the Kaveri River, right? Big river, like that. And so it flows in certain places. But Kaveri or is it Narmada? One of them, it goes. It's coming from one state, going to the next. But before it gets to Tamil Nadu, all the water's been taken out.
Kaveri.
Yeah. So then they get nothing. And so the one state, they're perfectly fine with that. So what's the problem? We're happy. All our people are getting enough water and everything like that. Says that, no, but this river flows down to, Tamil Nadu. Says, yeah, but they can get their own water. Isn't it? Like, how many rivers in Los Angeles, right? They take it from the ocean. There's plenty of ocean there. Come on, go for it. So, like that. So, because it's just you and your surrounding, and therefore then the states fight with each other. Okay. Then back to Bhaskar. The faults in the jiva which arises when Brahman contacts Upadi should become faults in Brahman itself. Such faults must be given up since they are contrary to the teachings in scripture which state that Brahman is the Atma of all beings, is faultless and endowed with all auspicious qualities. So he's the Atma, means he has, just from that point, is that he cannot be contaminated. He can't have a fault, the Shastra is saying. So from Shastra we're getting the idea of the jiva and self-realization. And then here, then we're getting the, but we're putting, it makes, creates a fault by this approach. So there can't be a fault, because Shastra says like this, right? So we're not even addressing the point about he's the Atma of all beings, right? And they're not really complaining about that, but then the point is that then these two different aspects are there. But still not happy.
What's going on, Maharaj?
Just the video was off.
Wow.
Actually, switch off the video.
If everything goes down, okay. But then, okay, but they can't turn it back on, or?
No, I have to also press.
You also have to, okay.
In control.
Okay, so now that was Alpacharika Beda Beda. That was Bhaskara. So that's one. So these are all impersonal philosophies before Shankara.
Before,
yeah, because he's based on impersonals that's there, and just taken what he wanted. Because his business is to bewilder Buddhists. Means the karma mimamsakas and this and that are already bewildered by these guys. But that's not his job. His job is the Buddhists, to bring them back in. So things that will please them, that's the thing he's talking about. So we see just everything being destroyed is what they like. But you're just doing it in the context of Brahman. So you become Brahman rather than nothing. So now here's another one. Swabhaviki beda beda yadava prakasha. There are natural faults, such as material gunas, since Brahman, by its nature, accepts the condition of the jiva. This is contrary to teachings without becoming one with faultless Brahman. Right, so they again now here he talks about the gunas. You know, the other one. So then that means that Brahman accepts the condition of the jiva. So it's again, he accepts those faults. Similar.
The before one is aupacharika means it's a, the meaning of the word is metaphorical. So that means what he says is actually jiva is Brahman, the same thing as which goes on now. But because of the covering of the upadhi, then he cannot realize.
Hmm.
That's why then, if by the covering, then when the upadhis are removed, then it's the same argument, like, no, then the fault also goes back to Brahman, because if the Brahman covered, then becomes jiva.
Yes.
Then Swabhavika Veda Veda is, which Yadav Prakash says, Brahman has three aspects, the Lord, the conscious and unconscious, all are part of Brahman.
Okay.
So he defends the Brahma Parinama, so-called defends it.
Okay.
Because Yadav Prakash is after Raman, after the three schools started.
Oh, okay.
He's the guru of Ramanujaja.
Oh, this is okay. Ramana, this is Yadav Prakash. Okay, so this is not before, this is after. Okay. Yeah. So they're all trying to find something, but it means you go back before it was just it's all Brahman. It's not, it means Brahman has energies and that's all there, and so then you're absorbed in that, like Sukadeva and the four Kumaras. So there's no Maya element to it. It's not, they're not, their Vad's not Maya. The Vad, they're Brahmavadis, because everything is Brahman. So they don't have a difficulty with themselves and Brahman. So therefore, Krishna, is, as you know, as Ishwara, is Brahman. Like that. So they're just seeing the quality of Brahman, that everything is transcendental or spiritual. And that, and so themselves, the, you know, the material energy, the Lord, it's all Brahman to them. So they're just absorbed in that platform. So that's why you see, but it's only up to Brahman. They don't know beyond that. Means their interest is not in the person. It's just in the experience of Brahman. So that will be a lower level, right? That's the jnanis and like this. But then you see is that the devotees, then who are on that same spiritual platform, that Brahman is coming from the person. So they're attracted to that person who's Brahman. But the experience that they're trying to gain from that is the experience of Brahman. You know, and that how he's controlling his Paramatma, that aspect. So the Bhagavan aspect isn't actually so prominent for them. Does that make sense? So then there's a difference there, but the platform is exactly the same. For all devotees, it's the same. So even the Brahmavadi is the same, but for them, because they haven't connected to the person, it's temporary. Because at some point, they'll want to do an act, there has to be that personal aspect, and then they'll come back to the material. But someone who's come to Shantarati, then they won't come back. Because they're connected to the person, and they see, you know, the wonderfulness with the person, like that. And so the platform is the same. And so the Mayavadis are following technically the Brahmavadis, though they're coming up with their own bogus philosophy, how it's all illusion and all. So they're how they see things, how they'll get out, but they still have to use the Vedic principles of religion that are given of detachment. So naishkarmya and like that. And so then they apply that into there. You know, the duties of the sannyas. If they're not the grihasthas, then the naishkarmya, they perform their duties and then like this. And so it's still based on the Veda. And their platform to get up to freed from material entanglement is technically the same. The mechanics of it. The philosophy is completely bogus, but that the, you know, that we're getting up in the Brahmahorta, they're getting up in Brahmahorta, they're taking bath, we're taking bath, they're detached, we're detached, that's all the same. You know, it's just standard Vedic religious processes, you know, in connection with renunciation. And you see, so many of these, it's all through all the ashrams, it's not just the sannyas. So everyone's doing, but just they'll focus more on the detached ones. And anything else beyond that, that will the grihasthas will take care of. But then they'll do it in naishkarmya, because that will bring them to the point of sannyasa, from sannyasa they'll, like that. But for us, is that you become detached, that will take you to the spiritual world. So sannyasa is either an opportunity to perform service in that way, or at least by sannyasa, then maybe you'll develop the sannyasa mentality. But otherwise, for devotees, sannyasa mentality is developed at any point. It just means nothing's mine, it's all Krishna's. So even if you're a householder, you have so much facility, but it all belongs to Krishna, you're using it in Krishna's service. Right? Like that. And so they somehow or another, they have this thing, they want to be God rather than just I'm Brahman. So Sukadeva's not thinking, I am the same as Krishna, it's just no, we're all Brahman. Right? Because you see, is he superior Brahman? That's fine. That's why Vyasadeva has to bring Krishna to convince Sukadeva to appear. Because otherwise his father's telling him and is nah, you know, you're a householder, what do you know? You know, kind of thing, you know, kind of you like and but then when Krishna comes, because as the supreme, then he tells him, then it's okay. But then as soon as he appears, he just runs off. Yes.
Also, we see one main difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis is Brahmavadis can act as avadhurs, but Mayavadis can never. Because for them, there is like the Brahman also, when it comes to material world, should follow mode of goodness,
yeah,
which becomes Ishvara.
Interesting, interesting. They're attached to the rules. Because they think the rules is what actually makes it and all this. And so they're talking about Brahman, but it's that very much dependent on the mode of goodness. Well, for the Brahmavadi, then being pure goodness, they don't have to deal with the material world. So they can be an avadhut. That's interesting. They can go to a higher level. Because the other ones, they have to be the Tridandi Sannyasi. They never go to Paramahamsa.
Ekadandi
Sannyasi. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems that Jiva Goswami, when he tried to present the fault in Mayavadi, he used mainly logic.
Yes.
Based on the Shastra, of course.
Yes, because they're only, when you're dealing with mundane things, it's logic that we'll accept. Because it's already been said that all this is bogus.
Yes.
We're the servant of Krishna, and this, a few shlokas you can establish our position. But because we don't, therefore then we have some doubt.
Yes.
You know, and so doubts then have to be cleared with logic.
Yes.
Right? Yes. It's not that logic clears it. You use the medium of logic, it's actually the chit potency will clear it.
Yes. Yes.
So you present it, and if they have some sincerity, they'll take it. And then Krishna will reveal to them. So that's why we use that technique, but it's not the logic that makes it. It's not that, oh no, unless I know logic I can't preach and this and that. No, if you're convinced, that's how you can preach.
Like we saw in Bhagavad Sandarbha that the material vidya will only create a door to the spiritual vidya, but it is not the spiritual one.
The door, because it's logic, and you're open. The mind accepts logic through that door that you're willing to accept. Therefore, the chit potency can come. But if you're not accepting, it's there. Even though it's there, you don't accept it. You know, it's just like the deity. You don't accept the deity, then that mercy of the Lord you won't be able to receive. So it doesn't create. You know, the door doesn't create the two rooms. The door doesn't create the movement between the rooms. The door just allows. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that we find, that's what preaching means, is find that medium through which, talking to the person, they're able to appreciate the absolute truth. So the point is the absolute truth. It's not just making them comfortable. You want to take it further than that. But because of etiquette and all that, people will be comfortable. And if you have an opportunity, then you preach. If you don't, at least then yes, they're comfortable because of etiquette. But that's not a philosophy. That's just Vaishnavs behave nicely. They behave nicely, they deal nicely, they do everything as nice as possible because they're doing it to please Krishna. And because it's being done to please Krishna, Krishna's pleased, everyone's pleased. They don't know, they just think, oh, this person acts nicely. And so that's what is there. They don't understand that Krishna's being pleased, that's why they're pleased. Yeah. So it's a fine line there. Because otherwise we can make a mistake, and that's how philosophies come up, you know, other than the proper. Is that we'll be thinking that, oh, see, is that, you know, we deal nicely, and that's why then people will come to Krishna consciousness. But the point is, then are you giving Krishna consciousness? No, you're just being nice. You're just being accommodating, you know, like that. And so that's nice, that's etiquette, that's Vaishnava behavior. But where's the Krishna consciousness that you're giving them? That's then lacking. So one has to be very careful, is that that doesn't create their good fortune. It means that they're nice to devotees, it's always an agyata sukriti. But you don't make that as a philosophy. I'll just go out and be nice to everybody and that way I'm preaching. I mean, if that's all you can do, yeah, you can do that. But don't say that, oh, this is big preaching, and oh, this is the preaching, and actually all the other stuff, that's archaic, and this is the new. Don't do that. Don't make philosophies. It's already a part.
Whole Rajasthan and whole Gujarat and Rajasthan, they accept Vaishnavism, but they don't practice. So.
Yeah, then you end up with that, you know. And so then, nice. Create a whole bunch of, you know, guys that can run motels really well. Like that.
They accept Gita and Buddha scriptures.
Yeah, so I'm saying like that. But the point is when that agyata sukriti comes to a point that they have actually that real shraddha, then they can take up dynamic devotional service. So it's nice as a position, but that's not what we're doing. That comes as a side thing. Means, why do that? Means if I do some nice thing like that, okay, that person that saw it gets the benefit. And how much agyata sukriti is there in something indirect? Because they're just seeing is the behavior's nice. They're not actually, you know, in that way then these people are okay. You know, or they're nice, but it's not that because they're Vaishnavs, that's why they're nice. Right? It's because they behave nicely, that's why they're nice. It's not that Vaishnavs are actually the standard. And from there, how does it come to the direct activities? Well, now if you do Harinam, now they're going to get the same agyata sukriti, but they've been engaged in direct activities. So actually it's way, way more. The volume and the depth is much greater. Right? And so then that's going, and then they'll identify with Hare Krishnas. You know, if you know, oh yeah, those are the Hare Krishnas. You know, like that. Because technically we're ISKCON, we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But because people can relate, oh, they're Hare Krishnas, because they chant Hare Krishnas, then we're known as Hare Krishnas. It works. It's fine. Because then they're chanting the holy name.
That is what is called your Vaishnavism.
Yeah. You know, people ask, you know, oh, what group are you guys with? Oh, we're Hare Krishna. Then they, oh, okay, yeah, the guys that are chanting in the streets.
Maybe even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moved all over India, that's how he was identified.
He was the Hare Krishna Swami.
The Hare Krishna Sage.
Yeah. Yes. So it's much more direct, it's much more powerful. And that, all that endeavor, maybe one or two, this one, then so many. Because let's say you're dealing with Lahir, just these few people may know. But if you're going down the street with Harinam, everybody on both sides of the street and in the cars and in the buildings, they know. They hear, they get benefit. Plus all the bugs and all that. You're nice to the those few people, none of the bugs and that they're around get any benefit. But when you do the Hari Nam, all the bugs get also. You know, so you do Hari Nam, all that coronavirus, and they also get benefit, and then they give up their sinful mentality, and then in this way, then they move on. Less coronavirus.
Pandava Prabhu posted a photo recently of their Hari Nam. So their Hari Nam includes one dog also, the Hari Nam dog.
Oh, there. He goes with him every time. The Hari Nam dog. Okay.
And the owner is named as Shivananda Singh.
Okay. Oh, it's just some friend of Krishna or something. Means it's initiated devotee.
He's initiated devotee.
And his name is Shivananda Singh.
Because he had always a dog. And so therefore
the guru gave him the name Shivananda Singh. Okay. Because he had the dog. Okay. And
so
the dog comes.
It also preach to the dogs.
Okay, then he goes around. Yeah. Yeah. They got other dogs to come in the Hari Nam. They had a dog in, I think, and the New Govardhan farm in Australia. Can't remember his name of who was. But he used to come every day because they have glass walls on the temple. Like that. Because it's an A-frame roof. You know, the kind of roof that comes like this, you know, big like this, and then the walls are inside. So the walls are glass. So from outside, both you can see. So, oh, Hari Rama, his name was. So he would stay, every Mangalarti, he'd stand outside and watch. You're watching the deities. And he'd, you know, move around and dance. So he was there for, you know, some years. I think just one day he showed up. And then just they fed him and he stayed like that, and then one day he disappeared. Like that. So like that, then even the dogs. But if you're just being nice, then you know, how's that the dog's not going to get any spiritual benefit? But here, so Hari Nam, that's the one that gives everybody. Speaking about Krishna, that's the one. The name is that. So therefore, if we want to benefit people, that's the way. If we want to do it by so many mode of goodness and philanthropic, all these things like that, because our intent is that, then all the benefit they'll get is that. So it'll be very minimal benefit. But if our intent is the devotional, then however much we can deal and interact and like that, then they're going to get more benefit. So intent's very important. So Yadava Prakasha's intent was not good. Therefore, it's the same problem. Brahman takes on a fault. So in all of them, Brahman takes on a fault. Brahman becomes covered, or he's reflected, or this or that, but it's somehow or another connected with Brahman. Though they try to say, oh no, but he's reflected without being reflected, just like the person's reflected, but it doesn't affect the person. Like this and that, and you know, so many things like that. But then you're saying that that's the jiva, and they have faults, but it's the faults are therefore on what's reflected from Brahman. So Brahman takes on those faults. Otherwise, if they can't, why would you get this? So whatever, they've all got. In Kevala Beda, okay, wow.
The interesting point of Yadava Prakash is, finally he became a devotee because his mother is a devotee of Lord Vardharaj. Through that connection, he became a devotee.
So Yadava Prakash, Ramanujacharya's guru, became a devotee by the association of
Ramanujacharya. But he has that connectivity because his mother is a good devotee of Lord Vardharaj.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, so all these pastimes happened in Kanchi?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All the Kapi Dwaja and all that, that's all Kanchi. Oh, okay.
Because simultaneously we're having Ramanujacharya had association of Kanchipurna.
Ah, okay.
That's where he... Till the time he became the head of Sri Rangam, he was taking association of Kanchipurna.
Kanchipurna?
Mm.
Okay.
He wanted to get initiated from him, but he denied. That's why then he has to get initiated by...
Yadava Prakash.
No. That is later, Maharaj. He started associating with Kanchipurna later, because Yadava Prakash, he was just a student when he was 8, 9 years old, something. Like later on, he distanced himself from Yadava Prakash, but then he was taking association of only Kanchipurna.
Oh, okay.
And then till the time he was made like his guru was in last days, and then they forcefully brought him to Sri Rangam. Till the time, his guru is actually Kanchipurna.
Oh, okay. He's Siksha Guru. Okay. In Kevala Veda, absolute difference between jiva, matter, and Brahman. Since one accepts that jiva and Brahman are completely different, teachings of Atma being Brahman must be rejected, since oneness is not possible by any means. Thus all of Vedanta must be rejected, since it contains statements of oneness in this theory. Yeah, so that means it's taking difference too far. The other ones are taking oneness too far. And this is, they're taking difference too far. So that's why then you have to be very careful. That's why it has to be the proper balance between them. That therefore the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Yes?
All these Advaita schools, they discuss a lot about after covering by Upadhi or reflection. But what they give reason why Brahman gets covered by illusion?
That's the thing. They can't. Where does illusion come from? If there's only Brahman, where does illusion come from? And then if there's only Brahman and it's all expanding, how can something all expanding become covered? You can't cover anything. It's just like, could Mother Yashoda tie the rope around Krishna? No, because he's unlimited. So therefore, how would you cover? So all their philosophical things are all based on their own conditioning of time and space. And then they're saying the absolute is somehow or another affected by time and space. At the same time, Shastra says that the Brahman is beyond all this. So that's a problem. Because they're looking at it from their perspective. You know, just like that's how doubts come up, because we're looking at it from our perspective without seeing how it comes from Krishna. We're seeing the inductive but not the deductive. So they take a few deductive points that are made in Shastra and then speculate their own inductive philosophy.
Start itself is wrong.
Yes, the start is wrong. That means everything will be wrong. It means they pick up points that from Shastra that may be valuable, but they misuse them. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, the screw is coming out, you know, on the picture, you know, on the wall. So you go in, and what do? Right? You go into the kitchen and you get a knife. Right? But is a knife meant to be used for screws? No. So that's what happens. They just misuse bona fide things. And then in their misuse, they come up with, you know, their whole philosophy of how you use the knife to put the screw, and, you know, you have to do it like this, and you have to do it like that, and hold it like this, and not like that. And so the principle that there is knives and there is screws, that's bona fide, but how they're connecting them together, and then they come up with their own philosophy about that, that's all bogus.
They're defeating big philosophers. How it's starting wrong and defeating...
Because all those big philosophers are also starting wrong. So just their starting wrong was better than the others starting wrong. Does that make sense? That's all. But that's why then the Vaishnavas can defeat all this. By accepting the famous teachings in the Upanishads that everything is the body of Brahman, the teachings concerning Brahman and Atma are harmonized. Substances like class and qualities are accepted as the body or descriptive elements of Brahman. By karma, a person becomes a cow, horse, human, or devata. Case identity using direct meaning rather than lakshana, right, means you see the case, what the case is of the word, and you use it according to the case. You don't take it, you know, into something else. It's seen in the Vedas in common language. Relationship of class characteristics and quality like substance is stated using case identity, as in the cloth is white. You know, you don't take it and say, oh, maybe it's a cloth is white, or... my cloth is white. No, it's the cloth. You know. You take it, you know. You know, or you don't take it that the white is cloth. You know, do stuff like that. You know. You know, unless it's white, it's not cloth. You know, or this kind of stuff, yeah. Since objects such as human or animal bodies are modes of the Atma, case identity is commonly used. The Atma is born as human, male, female, or bull. Thus, case identity is used to express modes of the Atma, prakaratvam. In such statements, class and quality have no meaning by excluding the relationship. Yeah, so if you leave out the relationship, it has no meaning. So if you leave out the relationship with the Lord, right, then it's not going to have any meaning. Like that, yeah? Sometimes fixed objects are used as descriptive elements to describe another object. For instance, kundala is an earring, and kundali is a person wearing an earring. You know, like we saw in the drama, is what instrument or what work they do, you call them by that name. So he's a carpenter, then he's called as a because he does work with wood, therefore he's called a carpenter. You know, but in the Sanskrit, it's more connected. You know, because here carpenter, you don't use the word wood. You know,
instead of wood, vadrangi means wood.
Vadrangi. Okay, yes. Yeah, so then they use that. You know, like you have someone who rides a bike is a biker, or a bikey, depending on what kind of bike you ride. You know, so like that. Yeah, does labor, so he's a laborer. Like that, yeah. This usage cannot take place where the object cannot be separately perceived. In other words, the earring is a separate real object. This usage is a descriptive element. Kundali is also understood to be case identity. So you have the person, you have the earring, and the person's wearing the earring. So you can relate it because they're there. So the whole point is you have to accept Brahman is there, the living entity is there, the material energy is there. Then you have to know the relationship and how the Lord is the supreme and the controller of both. And the jiva is superior to the material energy, but the Lord is superior to both. Right? So therefore, that's why case identity brings these things out. And so Shastra uses it. We accept it. We don't make up our own speculation based on where you want to get some other meaning. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.